like the zero should be O for on.
I know, right?
No, it seems like it.
This one's on. Yours is not.
Just unscrew this.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
I'm feeling it. That's how we choose to roll.
Okay. All right.
We're on.
Excuse me.
Should I just start without my guide? It's okay, I can.
Do you want to wait till she prints it?
No, it's okay.
Well, you know what, Jared could go get it.
Here. Could you grab a
Oh, wait, cup? Wait. Somebody's more prepared than I am, who maybe wants to be the chair.
No.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the February 13th, 2025 regular meeting of the Historic Preservation Committee. And now we'll call the roll. Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Member Houston?
Here.
Member Euler?
Here.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Here.
Chair Soriano?
Here.
And Member Thomas is absent today.
Okay.
So we have a quorum.
This is the time for public communications. Is there any item not on tonight's agenda that anyone from the public would like to speak about?
I have no public comment cards.
Okay. Our first item is the approval of the meeting minutes. And does anyone have any questions or changes to the minutes?
No.
No? Okay. Do we move to approve the minutes? Okay. I can move to approve the minutes. If I can get a second.
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Member Houston?
Yes.
Member Euler?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, our second item is the election of the Historic Preservation Committee Chair and Vice Chair for 2025. It says we have a staff report. Or is that just what was included?
The staff report is a memo describing that we would be electing a new vice chair. It doesn't have to be new, but a chair and a vice chair for the upcoming year.
Okay, so for 2025, it says the first thing we do is I'm to open the nominations for the position of chair, and any member may nominate any other member, and a second is not necessary for the nomination. Do we have any nominations for chair?
I'll nominate Elizabeth.
Do we have any other nominations? Okay, well then I will close. I'll make a motion to close the nominations for chair. And then is this when we vote for chair? Okay. Will you please call the roll?
Member Houston?
Yes.
Member Euler?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
And Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And now we need to vote for the vice chair. Or any nominations for the vice chair?
I would nominate Ann Houston.
And do we have any other nominations? You're grinning over there. Okay, I will close the nominations for vice chair. May we have a roll call, please?
Member Houston?
Okay.
Member Euler?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
And Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. All right, our third item is the Project 240723, is it pronounced Bonestell or Bonestell?
This is what's on there now.
I am actually not sure
okay.
on the pronunciation. My apologies.
But the residence window replacement located at 84 North Palm Street. And I believe we have a staff presentation.
Thank you. Yeah. Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Taylor Hernvall, and I'm a senior planner in the Community Development Department. The item before you tonight is a request for historic design review for window replacement, as you mentioned, at the Bonestell residence at 84 North Palm Street. The Bonestell residence is located at the southeast corner of Poli Street and North Palm Street within the urban core or T6.1 zone of the downtown specific plan. The site's surrounded by both residential and commercial uses, including restaurants, retail, and offices. Development in the vicinity varies from one-story residential to multiple-story commercial, residential, and mixed use. Local landmark 69, the Hartman House, is located across the street at 73 North Palm. The residence is not designated as a landmark, however, it was identified as potentially significant in the 1983 Cultural Heritage Survey and the 2007 Historic Resources Survey update for the downtown specific plan. It's also listed in the Ventura County Built Environment Resources Directory. The 2007 survey identified the Bonestell residence as eligible for the, for designation as a City of Ventura landmark due to it being a good example of American colonial revival style residential architecture in Ventura, and also due to its association with early Ventura businessman Charles D. Bonestell. The survey also indicates that it may be eligible for listing on the National Register. The residence was built in 1884 for pioneer Ventura lumberman Charles D. Bonestell, as indicated previously, who came to Ventura with his family in 1882. He partnered with Chafee and Gilbert to run a general lumber and merchandise company, also served as deputy county sheriff and member of the Board of City Trustees. So building permits on file with the City of Ventura's Building and Safety Division do not document any major exterior alterations to the residence. However, Sanborn maps do indicate that between 1894 and 1928, the front porch on the Palm Street facade was extended southward, and an addition was constructed on that south facade. Observations from the public right-of-way on North Palm Street and Poli Streets identified one major exterior alteration to the residence for which building permits were not found, which was the replacement of all windows, including original or historic age wood windows on the primary Palm Street facade, with vinyl windows, and not just the primary facade, but on all facades. Based on Google Street View, the unpermitted window replacements occurred at some point after April of 2019. The city's historic preservation regulations require that exterior alterations to a designated landmark or a property that has been identified as eligible in a historic resources survey adopted by the City Council be approved via design review prior to commencing such alterations. Furthermore, pursuant to the Downtown Specific Plan Historic Resource Design Guidelines, Section 5.20.020, all exterior alterations to a historic resource shall require design review by the City's Historic Preservation Committee to evaluate the project for compliance with the Secretary of the Interior standards and guidelines for the treatment of historic properties. Therefore, staff brings this project before the committee for review. The Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation specify that the removal of historic materials or alteration of features that characterize a property shall be avoided. Furthermore, they state that the deteriorated historic features shall be repaired rather than replaced wherever possible. Where the severity of deterioration requires replacement of a distinctive feature, the new feature shall match the old in design, color, texture, and other visual qualities, and where possible, materials. The windows were determined by the Historic Resources Group to be a character-defining feature, thus this standard applies. Since the windows have already been replaced, city staff and Historic Resources Group staff performed research to find information about or photographs of the original windows. The search did not return any photos or documentation sufficient enough to determine the exact style and materials of the original windows. Therefore, recommendations on appropriate replacements must be made based on the period of construction and the residence's architectural style. In their October 18, 2024 memo to the city, Historic Resources Group provided three options for consideration by the Historic Preservation Committee for rehabilitation of the residence. These options and associated recommendations are provided in the table on pages 3 and 4 of the memo, which is attachment B to this item. Option one, the most stringent option, is preferred by Historic Resources Group and is thus staff's recommendation. As such, staff recommends that the Historic Preservation Committee review and provide a recommendation to the Community Development Director to approve a historic design review to replace all incompatible vinyl windows with compatible wood windows on all facades. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. Do any committee members have questions of staff?
I just have a comment for staff, too, and just reinforcing what you said. This residence is a characteristic of American colonial revival type architecture, and the wood windows were a characteristic or defining feature of that period, and I think that's what we're getting at here. So it would seem that the recommendation as contained on page 3 of the staff report, option 1, would be the most prudent approach because it recommends the wood sash and then double hung window panes. So I think I just want to make that comment that the replacement with the wood windows would be consistent with that approach.
I have a question. For environmental reasons, with Title 24 in the state of California, will they be required to replace them with the double-paned wood windows? Or I imagine the ones that will remove are probably single-pane?
So it's not clear exactly what was removed, only because it was done prior to, I believe, prior to the current owners coming into possession of the property or prior to them purchasing the property. They're currently in plan check, or they're plan check submitted for permit review, and I'm not 100% sure what the requirements will be, but yeah, not sure. Presumably so. The originals were single pane, and the requirement would be to replace with double pane.
Okay, thanks.
Right, and to clarify too, if they were to request something outside of that and look back at the historic resources under the building code, that would be a separate interpretation. Right now they've proposed to put in vinyl windows which meet current code. So if they were to alter them in some way, they would need to look at those in that situation. I believe there are wood paneled windows that could meet the intent of option 1, which is referred by HRG, but they are not what is installed currently.
Okay.
Can I just confirm a couple of things? So the windows were replaced with or without a permit?
There were not permit records on file for the window replacement.
Okay. And the 1983 survey, did it identify the building as landmark eligible or not?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Any more questions? Is the applicant present, and do they have a presentation?
Yes.
I have two things to say.
Okay, would you mind?
Please come up and speak in the microphone.
Yes, please, because we're broadcasting and recording.
I also have a few copies.
Thank you. Oh, sorry, I totally took yours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dear members of the City of Ventura Historical Community, I'm Natalie. I'm the owner of 84 North Palm. I'm respectfully requesting an exemption allowing us to retain the current vinyl windows on our historic property rather than replacing them with wood windows. While I understand and appreciate the importance of maintaining historical integrity, I believe that due to financial hardship and environmental considerations, keeping the vinyl windows is a more practical option, reducing environmental impact and potential health concerns. When we replaced the windows in 2019, some of the windows were aluminum and some were wood. We decided to replace them because of the environmental issue that I will mention soon. We were new to remodeling and we didn't know that a permit was needed or any historical requirements. And I would like to take this opportunity and apologize for that. Now, replacing vinyl windows with wood windows would be a significant financial burden. Custom wood windows that meet both historic preservation standards and modern efficiency requirements are costly to produce and install. On top of that, There is ongoing maintenance, including sealing, painting, and repairs due to moisture damage. This maintenance further increases long-term costs, especially in an environment with high exposure to moisture. Replacing all the windows on the property would cost us approximately $30,000, and that's just the windows, no labor. And if you can see, I have an estimate under Exhibit A. A notable expense that adds to my financial hardship, given the rising materials and labor costs, this project would place an unreasonable financial strain on me. Now, as I mentioned before, in regards to the environment and health concerns, these are due to the nearby Rumfish restaurant. My property is located adjacent to a restaurant that emits exhaust containing fine particulate matter and other harmful contaminants. And Exhibit B will show you, it's a picture from my balcony to the exhaust and the smoke that comes out of there. When we bought the property and inspected it, the smell from the restaurant's fumes was so overwhelming at times that I remember asking my kids to wait outside because it was simply too unbearable inside the house. According to the Environment Protection Agency, they highlight that wood smoke contains a complex mixture of gases and fine particles, including toxic contaminants such as benzene, formaldehyde, and polycyclic hydrocarbons. These contaminants pose significant risks to respiratory and cardiovascular health. These particles are known to aggravate asthma, trigger respiratory and cardiovascular conditions, and cause long-term health effects. Additionally, the smoke from the restaurants has caused black residue to accumulate on my pomelo tree, further indicating the harmful impact of the exhaust on nearby surfaces and vegetations. Wood surfaces such as wood windows you can see the picture of my pomelo in Exhibit 3C. Wood surfaces such as wood windows are especially sensitive to absorbing gases, smoke, and other cooking byproducts, potentially leading to unpleasant odors and surface degradation. Vinyl windows offer better resistance to moisture and airborne pollutants. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, vinyl windows provide superior moisture resistance compared to wood windows, making them ideal for environments exposed to high humidity, pollutants, and restaurant fumes. Unlike wood, vinyl windows are not prone to swelling or rotting when exposed to moisture or airborne particles. Additionally, their insulated frames offer better thermal performance, reducing energy costs and enhancing occupant comfort. This improved insulation makes them a thermally superior option over traditional wood windows. Now, don't get me wrong. I value the property's historical significance and have taken steps to preserve its character. The windows, as seen from the street, and I wish we had the picture over there, as seen from the street, do not appear to be vinyl, as the design closely resembled the appearance of traditional wood due to the wood frames that we kept and maintained. However, replacing the vinyl windows with wood windows would impose a substantial financial burden and expose the property's to long-term environmental risk and the property and its inhabitants to a long-term environmental risks. As I mentioned before, research from the EPA and the U.S. Department of Energy highlights that vinyl windows offer superior resistance to moisture and airborne pollutants and better thermal efficiency than traditional wood windows. These advantages are especially important in environments with high moisture, pollutants, or fluctuating temperatures. Another option that I came across the other day for vinyl is fiberglass. Fiberglass windows are a popular choice for both residential and commercial buildings due to their exceptional durability, energy efficiency, and low maintenance requirements. made from a reinforced fiberglass material that resists moisture and rot. These windows are built to withstand extreme weather conditions while maintaining their structural integrity. Unlike other materials, fiberglass expands and contracts very little with temperature changes, reducing the risk of cracks or air leaks over time. Many fiberglass frames are filled with insulation material and paired with energy-efficient glasses, making them ideal for reducing bad air quality inside the home. An added benefit is that fiberglass can be designed to resemble the appearance of natural wood, offering a classic and elegant look without the need for constant upkeep, sealing, or repainting. I kindly request that the committee consider my situation and grant either an exemption based on hardship and environmental concerns, allowing me to retain the current vinyl windows, or choose option 3 from the recommendation options with the option of changing it to fiberglass windows. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any committee members have questions of the applicant?
You mentioned the financial hardship, which exactly. I appreciate. On page 3 of the staff report, option 2 says, compatible wood-clad vinyl replacement windows should be considered as an alternative to wood replacement windows only if the wood windows would cause economic hardship. Is that an option?
It does. It's a hardship on me.
No, but is that option one that you might want to consider? It's in the staff
report.
Option
number one?
Number two.
It's number two.
Sorry, number two. Oh, I don't have it.
It's number two.
Oh, it's the replacing just some of them, right?
If you see the note on number two.
On the primary, secondary, south.
Okay, the note on option two says compatible wood vinyl replacement windows should be considered as an alternative to wood replacement if the wood windows would be an economic hardship. So the question is that something that you can look at and possibly accept to deal with your economic hardship issue?
Again, this is not just the primary windows. Number two, I just want to make sure I understand it correctly. It's the south and north, right? Am I correct? So it's more windows to replace. That will be hard for me to do. And I think it's the south windows that are the most important as far as environmental issues with the restaurant nearby, because that's where we get all the fume, unfortunately. I mean, you should just be there for an hour at any time between, I think, 10 and 4 on my balcony, just stand there and smell what I smell. I mean, I'm sure it's another issue to take care of, but that's something that needs to be taken care of, because I'm sure there are other options for to reduce the environmental
I have a question.
Issues.
If Daniel, you're done with your...
Yes, I am.
Okay. My question is, how many in option two, how many windows... how many windows would be replaced under option two, which is the primary and secondary south facades, and then retaining all of the incompatible vinyl windows on the north side and the rear facade? Because it's kind of a split the difference here, that if you have some windows that you're not replacing at all, mm-hmm. versus if you picked option three, you're replacing.
Option two, you mean?
Yeah, no,
sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
If I can?
Yeah, option
I do,
two.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I apologize. There on the plans, and we have copies here, there's a window schedule there, so you can see how many. I'm so sorry, I should have passed those out.
Please do. The primary.
Yeah, because I cannot.
Yeah, the primary facade.
18 total.
Is the Palm Street facing side, correct?
Thanks.
The side that faces Palm is the primary?
Yes.
And the secondary is the south, which faces towards the ocean?
Yes.
Which
okay.
That's
facing.
So option, just for clarification, I'm sorry, I jumped in.
That's okay.
So just for clarification, option two only recommends replacing the windows on Palm Street and the ocean side, mm-hmm. but compatible wood-clad vinyl replacement windows can be considered because of expense. And then the rest of the windows would not have to be replaced.
So they would be replaced with wood?
Wood-clad vinyl replacement. I guess a wood look. And
wood look?
I agree. HRG didn't recommend.
Compatible wood windows on, so I just want to understand. The compatible wood windows, it doesn't have to be wood? Because that's, I thought it has to be wood.
It says an option two. It says, note, compatible wood clad vinyl replacement windows should be considered as an alternative to wood. So that would be the all wood replacement windows, only if wood windows would cause an economic hardship, which is what you're saying. I know they're expensive. I do know that the fiberglass windows, definitely, they do make the fiberglass windows that do look very much like wood. And
yes,
I was impressed. I was actually seeing some recently, and I was very impressed with them. I don't know that they're going to be less expensive.
I think they're a little bit less expensive than wood, but if that's my only option, wood, mm-hmm. fiberglass would be a little cheaper. Yes, and then option three, that I just need to replace few.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the side that, the option three is the side that facing Palm. Am I correct?
Yes.
The primary facade is the, facing Palm.
So that will be more helpful if I can do on option three. And the side I would like to keep the same just because of the smoke that we're getting from the restaurant.
From the restaurant?
Yes. And if I can just replace it to fiberglass, which will be, I will make sure it will look like wood. Mm-hmm. And then I know the sill of the windows will be the same quality as the vinyl. As wood.
I'm sorry to ask you, Taylor, could you bring up the picture of the house? There's a photograph that you had in your presentation.
Of the front of the house? I do have a few.
It's south.
The south side.
It's
one
view from the south. Two pictures, one on the front and one of is the south side.
That would be the south side. We're changing the video screen.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
There it is. There. So it's really hard. So it's basically, if you look at the bottom right picture, do you see the white part on top between the black? And the curtain.
Oh, thank you. I was going to try to use this, but I've never used it.
That's the vinyl. Yeah, and it's really thin. It's really hard to see from the street that it's not
there
wood.
There it is. So
just
the white.
We kept the black one, that's the wood.
The white part is the vinyl. And is the darker surround, is that all wood still?
Yeah, but half of it, I think it's a curtain. The top white on the window, it's the curtain. So you can barely see it. So you see just the side on the right and the bottom white?
Yeah.
This is the vinyl.
So around it, see around the window, is that all still wood?
Yes.
That is still wood, okay.
Yes, and we painted it, I believe. Maybe we didn't. Maybe we just, I think we painted it. And we kept the texture of the wood. We didn't touch it. We just... Some of it was, how wood is kind of cracking. So we sanded it a little bit and we painted it. So
okay,
it
so
like wood. I like it to be personal.
And this is also vinyl.
Personal opinion.
The white
yes,
vinyl.
The white. Yes.
Okay.
This is the side that's facing the restaurant. The ocean.
Okay. So, but the original molding, it appears, is still there.
Yes.
Around the windows.
Everything is still there. So, if you really, if you stand outside the house, it's hard to tell if it's wood or vinyl.
It's missing its historic proportions, however, with the double hung.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Does anyone else need the pointer, and does anyone else have questions of the applicant?
One of the comments that was sent to us today made the argument, and I think we need to clear this up before we move on to recommendations about the windows, made the argument that the building is not historically significant or landmark eligible. Is that something you want to pursue, or are you willing to accept
that? No, I didn't
that?
Research it. Too much. I don't think it is, to be honest. But again, I didn't research too much. I just read the notes that were on this paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I did look a little bit under California historical properties. But again, it's not something I can argue because I don't know much about, and I didn't research it too much.
Okay.
So. But it's not officially historical property.
Right, and that's something I think we would determine based on the information that was given to us
exactly.
in both surveys and then what.
Yeah, but it's again, it's not something I'm going to argue about.
Yeah, okay.
I just care about my health. Currently, we have tenants, so I do care about their health.
Yeah.
Their health, sorry. When we stay there, We couldn't open the windows. You cannot open the windows, which is it's a shame because you cannot get the breeze from the ocean. That's why we bought the property. So, I mean, it's a hard one.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So I guess.
Any other questions? Yeah.
No.
Okay. Right now. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, and piled in.
Please, I believe.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item?
I have no public comment cards.
Okay. Okay, now the commission can deliberate on this, and we can ask staff any further questions if we have any. So I would love to see the historic proportions back on the windows. I understand how expensive windows are.
I guess I feel like we should determine whether we as the committee feel as though it's landmark eligible before we talk about the windows. I guess I feel
go ahead.
As though it is.
I think it is, too. Yeah, I do. I think it is, too, because of who it's associated with, how old it is, and it's associated with the lumber yard.
Right, and the other point, too, is that this is a good example of the American colonial revival, the early part of Ventura's history, and I think that needs to be taken into account, and that'd be a reason for consideration as a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then there's the other options that if we do decide that it's a landmark, I mean, there are other options for funding and options for the homeowner to pursue to help with funding costs if necessary. And the HRG report also said that though the interior, there's very little exterior change, so I would concur that it most likely meets landmark status qualifications for the city.
Okay, so windows. It's likely significant within the city, at least for local designation, if not state, but we're the local committee, but I understand the reasonable need to be able to maintain historic buildings. Option one is ideal. Any other comments?
Well,
that is the most stringent. That's the wood windows.
That would be on every single one.
Yeah, that's everyone with HRG. But I mean, it does cost a mint.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, if there's a 1988 edition, why would we put?
I think that's on the house on Santa Clara Street. Was there one here too?
I guess I'm unclear
Santa Clara. We're on Palm Street. Sorry, we're on Palm Street, the Palm Street property.
But isn't it one?
That's they're really old editions. That's the Rincon report.
There were editions. There were no permit on files. The evidence is in Sanborn, Mass. They're very old. It was between 1894 and 1928, the porch and the addition on the south side.
So they were pre-1928.
Okay.
So this is...
This is not what we're dealing with.
Where is that one? It's harder with... I think it's harder with the... that's why I always been printing everything out. We are on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's...
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Excuse me, Chair.
Yes.
You mentioned that option one is the ideal one, obviously.
Yes.
But option two does have some merit in terms of providing the wood windows when we have a situation where it's also a hardship.
Yes.
Option three is the least desirable if we're going to look at a landmark status situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my feeling. If option one is not supported, then I would recommend option two.
I think I'm in favor of option two as well, with the option of all wood or wood clad vinyl or fiberglass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would recommend option one, but if option one is not, since we're recommending, is it design review? Is that who we're recommending to? Our recommendations are going to?
To the director, the community development director.
Community development, okay. So I think option one, but if option one is not an option, option two can be considered by them when they give the permit. Does that make sense? Option one's ideal.
I think we have to make the decision.
We just
do
decide?
Do we
have
make to the
decide?
Decision?
Or can they have a discussion with community development? Or is this like we
ideally
decide?
Ideally, we're looking for recommendation from the Historic Preservation Committee.
Okay. So we should. I liked HRG's options. I liked their options. But I also would consider the fiberglass, definitely. I was surprised at how good they look and how much they can mimic wood. So, yes.
Does the fiberglass match the historic proportion?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So will that be allowed going forward?
See, that's another question, yeah.
Could we probably need to open up for public hearing again. I'm sorry,
Up
to the
we
mic.
Can open it up for public comment or public questions, but you do have to go to the mic.
But remember, if it's public comment, there's not a back and forth dialogue.
Oh, it's not, okay.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that is a consideration. I know, I was thinking that too. It sets a precedent.
Well, I sort of feel like this is if it had come to us before the windows were replaced,
right,
we would have been able to. So we're sort of doing it backwards. And wood-clad vinyl would have the wood appearance. And I actually did put fiberglass windows in my house, but it's a 1960 house, so they were replacing aluminum sliders.
Let's stick with HRG then.
Yeah.
That's fine
yeah.
with me.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
And in the past, I think looking at, we've concentrated more on primary facades or, mm-hmm. you know, visible from the street as opposed to something on the back that nobody's going to see.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a special case because the vinyl windows are already in there and they're being replaced with something more historically accurate. So I think in that sense it doesn't necessarily set a precedent. I think it's if somebody wants to remove wooden windows and replace them with vinyl windows, then that's a different situation. Mm-hmm. So, and this is a financial hardship. So, okay, I think we're ready. Would someone like to, do you have any comments?
Well, I haven't seen any example of fiberglass or, mm-hmm. so I don't know what we're talking about.
No, I think we're
going
to nix the fiberglass at this point.
Okay. I understand and consider hardship, but I'm prone to go with option one and could settle for two, but not three.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I think.
I'll make the motion. Then.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead and make a motion, please.
I move that we recommend option two of HRG's set of recommendations to go forward.
Can I have a second, please?
Second.
May we have a roll call?
Member Stratton?
Yes.
Member Euler?
Yes.
Vice Chair Houston?
Yes.
And Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Just make a comment. I think that there is a local person who makes wood windows or a local company, so you might look into them as opposed to the commercial one.
Okay, our next item is the citywide historic survey. And I think we also have a staff, present.
Oh,
is my mic, did my mic go out? Test, The green light is on. Test. Grab that one too. I can talk louder.
Just don't pick up, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Switch that up for you.
Thanks. The test. I don't know. This one doesn't sound like it is either, unless it's my voice.
Testing?
Oh, that one's now working.
It might have been your voice.
It's my voice.
Sorry.
It doesn't like me.
Testing.
Okay. The citywide historic survey. And I believe we have a staff presentation. We're moving into the downtown section, but we only did a portion of it because there are so many buildings. So whenever staff is ready, thanks.
Good evening, Chair Soriano. My name is Jared Rosengren. I'm the principal planner in the Community Development Department, and the item before you tonight is the citywide historic survey. It's the second phase of it. The first part was the context statement, and this is for the eastern half of the downtown community. And so staff has been working with the Historic Resources Group out of Pasadena to prepare a citywide historic survey, and this work is being conducted concurrently with the general plan update that is also underway, and HRG is a sub-consultant for that effort. So one of the benefits of the survey is that it's going to provide the city with valuable information that is going to help us guide the planning and land use decisions. And the survey includes an updating and an expansion of the existing historic context, inventories, and data from previous surveys to encompass the entire city and the historic periods of development up to 1979, and also identify potential districts and contributors to potential districts, and then also identify potential landmarks, and identify a general list of persons, events, and significance and places that may be of importance to consider as future projects are evaluated. And so while the scope of the survey includes the entire city, we are breaking up the work into more manageable pieces and organizing the survey results by individual planning communities. And we started doing this in August and in the east part of town with Satakoin Wells, and then we've been moving west. And then tonight we are talking about the eastern half of the downtown community. So the downtown has been surveyed twice in the past, as mentioned the last hearing item. The first one was in 1983, and then again with the downtown specific plan in 2007. And the city of Ventura started designating landmarks in the 1970s, and so this slide is showing the location of existing landmarks and points of interest in the downtown community. And because downtown is the oldest area of the city, it does make sense that it also contains the largest group of existing landmarks and potential landmarks. And because of that, the downtown has been broken up in two areas, and basically everything east of Ash Street. And we're calling this batch one. And then batch two is gonna be everything west of Ash Street and will be brought to the HPC at your next meeting. So for this part of town, the railroad had an immense effect on the physical development. Up to 1890, Main Street west of the Mission remained populated by adobe dwellings and wooden and brick commercial buildings. But by 1892, Main Street had become a densely developed corridor with many brick buildings replacing wooden structures. The concentration of commercial development on Main Street was matched by the parallel development of surrounding residential structures that nearly tripled in quantity during this period. Several lumber mills were established in the area immediately surrounding the wharf, and a mix of industrial and residential structures developed in the blocks bordered by Front, Ash, and Ann Streets. In the 1920s, the discovery of oil and the affordability of the automobile created the largest developmental growth period in the history of the city, and as a result, the residential areas pushed eastward to provide housing. So the survey identified over 80 potential landmarks in this area of downtown, and most of the properties were identified in the 2000 survey. However, there are some newly identified properties, such as the Wharf property and the Warren General Tire Company, just for a couple of examples. And as with other communities, we'll continue to compile the DPR forms identified in this community with the others that have already been prepared. So thank you for letting me update you on the progress of the survey. Staff is requesting the Historic Preservation Committee review the proposed survey results, provide feedback and comments, including requesting HRG to relook at any property identified or having any additional properties not identified to be looked at again. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have questions of staff?
No.
I think I have one. Jared, when do you think batch two will come before us? Do you think it might be coming before us at the March meeting or thereafter?
Yes, that is the goal. And based on our current pace, we seem to be on track for that.
And we have three more communities, or do we have less than that we haven't looked at?
Well, we have the West Side community, and I haven't spoken about this with HRG, but I am assuming that we'll combine the West Side community with the North Avenue community, since they're pretty close. So I'm thinking that we'll have two more of these before we compile all the whole list together.
Did this batch of properties, is this in addition to the 2007 HRG survey?
So that's an excellent question. What they did is they relooked at everything that was looked at in the 2000 survey and their brand new recommendations. So if there are properties on the 2000 survey that were recommended, but they're not showing up on this one, they felt that there have, for example, maybe a lot of alterations that have taken place that they believe would no longer make those properties eligible.
Okay. I have some questions, but those questions might be better for HRG.
Yeah, and once again, if any committee member has any questions that want to pass to me that I can pass on to HRG, you can you can do that outside the meeting. Or yeah,
thank you. I just wanted some, I'll just tell you, I just wanted some, just so the public knows as well, I just wanted a little bit of clarification because this is my neighborhood, so I know the neighborhood really well. Mm-hmm. There are certain areas that I think maybe should, I'd like more clarification on, kind of like with the Pierpont. I found some gaps in the Pierpont or a little bit of a deeper dive. Because there's like, it goes from 1910 and then the teens are kind of, there's like not a lot in the teens.
Okay.
And I just sort of wondered why that was.
That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions of staff? No? Do we have any commenters for public comment?
If you'd like to do a public comment, you need to submit a public comment card.
Yeah, if you've got.
Chair Soriano, do you want me to provide just an explanation
yes,
of the postcard?
For the public, yeah, definitely. So Jared can give us an overview of what's happening and why you got the card.
So, yeah, thank you for coming. So what we've done is we're doing a citywide survey trying to identify any structures within the city that could have some sort of historical significance. And as we've been collecting and identifying those properties and bringing them in batches to the Historic Preservation Committee, we have been notifying those properties that we are, that the property has been identified and they're being put onto this list of identified potential landmarks. And some of the confusion that I've received is that we didn't weed out the existing landmarks from the potential landmarks. So some existing landmarks, or all of them actually, got received postcards in the mail as well, that like this has really nothing to do with that. Those remain landmarks. We're really trying to identify the properties that haven't been identified yet. So that's what the goal of these meetings are. What we'll be doing is once we get through the entire city, which should be another 2 or 3 months, we'll package it all up together and then take it to the city council with HPC's recommendation for them to certify the survey. And then they just having a certified official survey of those potential landmarks. It doesn't automatically designate any property a landmark. It just puts it on a list. And so if anyone has any follow-up questions, you can talk to me after the hearing, or if you want to speak on at the dais for the Historic Preservation Committee, you can also do that. But I'm available for questions.
I'm going to call you up when it's time. Okay. Thank you.
And I'll just add to that this doesn't mean you're on any historic landmark. It just identifies your home as old, essentially. And it's already, most of the properties are already, because it's public information about when a property was built, a lot of those are already on a state building list. It's called the Built Environment Resource Directory. I think think is what it's called.
Prints or?
Yeah. So those are there anyway, because it's part of the public information anyway. So it's an aid to help the city plan for the future and for future construction or things like that.
Oh yeah, let me add something.
Yeah.
It doesn't really change any process. Anytime a property owner comes in and their house is older than 40 years old, we look at this. We go for any sort of historical significance, which is expensive and inefficient to do this one at a time. So that's why we're doing this whole thing. So the information is already out there. Property owners can have a heads up, as opposed to finding out when they submit plans for an addition and realize they may have to go through maybe an extra step or two in order to get that done. So it doesn't add anything that would have not already been added to a process. The historical significance of a house already exists, we're just identifying it. So I hope that helps.
Thank you. Do we have any speakers from the public?
I have two public comment cards. First, we have Samantha Ross, and after that, we will have Paul Rye?
Kai.
Paul Kai. Yeah, and just a little bit about public comment. It's more just to provide your feedback or any information you want to share about your property. It's not a question and answer dialogue, so if you have questions, it's good to reserve those to after the meeting or to contact Jared Rosengren after the meeting.
So you can scrap it, because I just have questions.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, all right.
Okay, thank you.
So maybe most of my will be questions to Jared, but I'm at 93 North Laurel. I received this notification, and I am the current steward of the house. So I didn't know that it was not questions, but appreciate everyone, what you're doing and helping to preserve downtown. So that's all I have to say, I guess, because I have questions for Jared. So Jared, you're on the spot.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments from the public?
No, he
left. That's it. Okay, thank you. I don't think we need to make a motion on this, correct? We just let you know that, I guess we can deliberate. Yes? Yeah. Do we need to deliberate about this neighborhood?
Yeah, and then yes. I think we basically make a motion to just continue.
I think to continue, yes. Yeah. Now we can deliberate. We're deliberating now. I mean, I kind of already said what I thought. Oh. I told Jared what, yeah. I felt like there was a little bit of a gap.
I would think we would make a motion, but we should also include the ability to send an email to Jared in case we have additional information or we need additional clarification. That should be part of any motion.
Okay, sounds great.
What does 1033 Santa Clara Street have to do with this?
That was a public comment that came in, a written public comment.
Correct.
That came in.
That was, there was one about Dunning Street, and then there was.
It was the Dunning Street, and then, that's Dunning still. And then there was a comment.
And there was 1033 Santa Clara, and I believe
that. The 1033 Santa Clara, and I think.
The owner wished to not have it considered significant.
Right, but that's, we're not at that point, but I think that's just should be part of the public record.
Okay.
And then I guess this report. Can I ask if that property owner is here? Is that property owner here of 1033 Santa Clara, East Santa Clara? No. Okay. So these were submitted. These were submitted online. So I was just, and they are available to the public. If the homeowner is watching this presentation, I think the they had Rincon consultants review the property, it appears, but it doesn't look like a complete report. So I think if they have that report, they should hold on to it, and then if anything happens to that property, you know, they can talk to the city then at that point. I mean, we're not at this point.
Or make their case to HRG.
At that,
that makes sense.
Maybe they should. Should they? Yes. Do you have a recommendation?
Just to add clarity, this applicant is in building permit review, and there are conflicting reports on HRG and from RINCON. So they're submitting it as contrast to the HRG determination as part of the survey as well.
Okay, so we didn't have that information, but yeah, okay, so there's some background there. Okay.
So do we need to determine anything at this point?
As with all the properties, any public information provided to you can be included in your determination on whether or not the report proceeds. So if you have questions about it or we want to do additional follow-up with HRG, that might be something you might want to consider.
Okay, so has this property come to us before?
No, this has not come before you.
It's
okay.
Correct. It is part of tonight's batch, which is why they've provided this counter argument that they've received. They had been working with the city for several months before the batch was available.
Okay.
And so the HRG report is part of our standard process, as Jared mentioned, when a building permit comes in.
Right.
We do our 5-day posting, which is our initial review with HRG. It was identified then as well as in prior surveys as well.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's not meant to be a formal item, but it is informational from this particular property owner.
Since we don't know what they're doing to this property, then as far
as the public record of that from it is a building permit remodel. They're proposing to do a variety of things to the property. I don't have all of those things in front of me, but some of those things were replacing windows, replacing doors, making alterations to the exterior finishes of the building.
Okay.
I think if they need a determination of whether it's landmark eligible or not, then they should do a phase one.
The original recommendation per HRG is that they do a phase two.
Mm-hmm.
The determination by HRG was that it was potentially significant and historic,
right.
And they have contrasting opinions as provided, but did not provide a full phase two.
Okay.
Okay.
Because
the normal procedure would be to bring that before you as a formal item. All of those options have been provided to the applicant. They have not chosen which way to move at this point.
Okay.
Because this isn't enough information for us to make a determination. So we would need phase two.
We would need
more
information. That's what I was thinking of, phase two.
Right.
Okay. Should that be part of our motion then? Or is that
right
a separate
now,
issue?
Generally, you guys are giving us comments and questions.
Yeah.
If you want to add additional comments based on the public comment, you're welcome to add that. Would that be appropriate? And then we can pass that along to HRG as part of their report. It would not be a formal action for this particular applicant. That would need to be presented to you as a formal HPC item.
Okay.
Which is not before you tonight. It's just on tonight's survey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't have any other comments. May I have a motion, please? Would you like to make a motion? You'd mentioned it before.
Make a motion that we make a motion that that moves on batch one for the downtown community with the caveat that we can send additional comments and points of clarification to Jared during this process.
May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. May we have a roll call, please?
Was it you, Member Stratton, that seconded it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Member Stratton?
Yes.
Member Euler?
Yes.
Vice Chair Houston?
Yes.
And Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. All right, at this point, I think this is a point for committee communication. I'm wondering about the public comment we received regarding Dunning.
Yes.
And the historic district, potential historic district. It's a little bit, it's been 32 years since it was considered and denied. Is that, what's the process for nominating a historic district?
Thank you, Chair Soriano. It hasn't changed in that time. It's much like the landmark process, but with the community of that within the boundary of the district requesting to become a district, and so they that would, I think at this point, you know, related to the citywide survey that we're doing, and we did review the Midtown community, which this area is in. I would think that you know, there's not much we could do from the property owner's perspective. You know, we wouldn't be designating a sort of district without that community coming forward and requesting it. But the HPC, if they felt it was appropriate, could, you know, add that direction or comment to the survey, saying that they believe that that area should either be relooked at, or, you know, even recommend that it should be a potential district to City Council when the whole package is taken back up to City Council.
Okay.
And I think I did recommend that when that came before us.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
I mean, I would like to see it relooked at with the current HRG mm-hmm. city survey, because having what bare minimum information we've gotten so far in the public comment, one of the things that I read was where everybody, you know, the folks at that time had agreed to, you know, maintain, keep up their properties, and now we see whether it was an owner back when this first came forward or mm-hmm. somebody completely different or six times removed, mm-hmm. it doesn't quite seem perhaps that the current owner is keeping with.
It's my suspicion that the current owner may not have known because
exactly.
It was sold in 2024.
Oh, well then, yeah.
So a little broader, you know, so there have been properties that have been requested in the past, and they weren't successful. Maybe at that time, 80s, 70s, whatever it was, City Council decided at that time that they didn't believe it was eligible as a landmark. Now, it appears that HRG has taken any sort of final action that City Council has already made to kind of omit that from the list, as it's already been settled. But if HPC would like to direct me to talk with HRG is maybe revisiting those that have already been looked at but denied in the past, maybe to see if they believe they're still eligible as meeting the standards. I could do that.
I think I would like that.
Yeah.
It's been 32 years. That's a generation.
Definitely. I mean, because who knows what's going to end up in there. It could change the whole character of that particular area if you're just looking at the houses on either side of it and, you know, don't know what the intent is with the boarded up windows. I mean, to completely demolish that and, you know, put in a colonial style or something or, anyway, I think it definitely should be relooked at.
Any other committee communication?
Yes, I have one. This is for Jared and also for the members of the commission. I did some research on
February 7th review of the Washington School for the State Historical Resources Commission. Okay, they approved it. And so the process now is, excuse me, I got sore throat. It goes to a so-called keeper, okay, in Washington, D.C. There's a 45-day period now between February 7th to make a designation whether they're going to name it a historical landmark. So from February 7th, 45 days, and we'll know whether Washington School is going to be a historic landmark. I just want to pass that on to the commission.
Just for the public, the Washington School on, is it on McMillan?
McMillan.
Yeah, it's on McMillan. Washington School was nominated to the National Register of Historic Places, and then it goes, the nomination goes to the state, and then the State Office of Historic Preservation, State Historic Resources Commission, determines which properties will be forwarded to the national level. And so that's the 45-day period.
Right.
And the keeper of the National Register will determine, evaluate the nomination. So we might have another National Register landmark in Ventura.
It will either become found eligible for listing or it will be formally determined to be listed. And there's not a whole lot of difference between the two.
Thank you. I knew you would know more clarification. Any other staff communications or committee communications? Nope. Now, how about staff communication?
Tonight, staff does not. I was going to mention the Washington School, but you took the wind out of my sails, so that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's it then. We can adjourn the meeting. Thank you. And Jared's here for questions if anyone has any.
I didn't mean to take the wind out of the sails.
I know. It's okay. It's okay.
She just said,
you took the wind out of my sails. It's excitement.